You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studio. Padres on the road, of course. Game two of their four-game set at the Phillies, looking to get back to 500. Well, not back to 500. We were corrected the other day. 0-0 is not mathematically 500, so looking to get to 500 for the first time this season. For the first time in our season, we are trying the Cholula Hotline. See if Blooper still remembers what that's like from last year. And joining us, calling in on that Cholula Hotline, is Mike Petriello, a columnist from MLB.com. Mike, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys loud and clear.
Hey, it still
works. Thank you for saying my name correctly. I appreciate it.
We do research around here. We try our best to be a professional program. You're here with myself, Bill Center, Brody Phelps. Say hi, guys.
Hey, Mike.
That was guys, how are you?
Duo.
Yeah, so, Mike, we want to talk to you because you had a column that I caught on Twitter today, and it's titled How Thor Fernandez Make Fastballs Look Faster. And you were talking about Thor, of course, Noah Syndergaard and Fernandez being Jose Fernandez of the Mets and Marlins, respectively, and how fastball velocity is only half the story. Why don't you give us a little bit of a Cliff's Notes version of that column that you put up?
Yeah, we've been using StatCast for some really interesting things this year and last year as well. And so the thing we were talking about today is what we've termed plate time. And what that is it's actually, I think, more useful in a lot of ways than velocity, because when you look at velocity, my 95 might not be the same as your 95, because we're both not pitching from the same spot on the mound. And I know people think, well, the mound is always 60 feet, 6 inches away, and that's not actually true, because we see guys with short extensions up the mound, long extensions off the mound, and now we can measure that. Some guys actually throw from 52 feet. Some guys throw from 56 feet. And so really what we tried to do is figure out, based on the difference between the velocity and how many feet they're actually throwing, who gave the hitter the least amount of time to make a decision, and it turned out that Syndergaard and Fernandez are the two most difficult guys in baseball at that.
Mike, I think that's a great point, and it's one that I've thought for a long time, because I remember Don Drysdale when he was, when he was pitching, and Chris Young now, who has a very late release point, and I think he's probably right there with the guys who's only throwing 52, 53 feet. It's not fastball velocity as much as it is where you release it, now you release it.
Yeah, exactly right. And what everybody wants to know, and unfortunately I can't tell anybody, is they want to know, wow, what would Randy Johnson look like that? Because he was throwing 100 and he was about a million feet off the mound. He was probably looking like he was throwing 110 miles an hour.
Right.
Well, it's interesting, I think a lot of people think about guys like that, or Randy Johnson or Chris Young, who are just these tall, long-limbed guys. But it's not just about the limb length. It's also, you know, your stride length, I guess. Carter Capps, you said, was kind of the guy, the Marlins reliever, who almost jumps off the rubber. He's probably got some of the really makes up for a lot of plate time just with that unique delivery. It doesn't always have to necessarily be someone who's just a big monster on the hill.
Well, you're absolutely right. We were talking about Chris Young, and he's 6'10", but he actually does not have a very good extension. He's slightly below average. He throws it, I think, pretty high up in the air, and maybe that helps with his deception, and that we know he's got a good spin rate, and that definitely helps, but he's not really extending those arms out. He almost short arms it a little bit, so he's actually costing himself a little bit of velocity. When I look at this list, the fact that he's not that far out in front of the mound and the fact that he doesn't throw that hard, it's actually at near the bottom of the list. He gives hitters the most time, or very close to the most time, to make that decision.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mike, the difference between the deception versus that stride and how, you know, how hitters might perceive, you know, maybe it works better for him to have that deception factor from his high release point than it would to have the longer stride and increase his speed.
Yeah, and I think that's true. We learned that last year. He's got high spin, and he throws a lot of high fastballs, and that's really how he survives, because we learned with high spin, the ball tends to defy gravity for a little bit longer. So it fools hitters. They swing under it or they go off pop-ups, and pop-ups are basically strikeouts. So that's how I got with Chris Young survived. I'll come back to Carter Capps, who I totally ignored the question of before. He is a fascinating case. Unfortunately, he got hurt because of that hop. He jumped about eight and a third or so feet off the mound. So he was throwing it from 52 feet, and he already threw it 98 miles an hour. So we have a stat we call perceived velocity. You know, what does it look like to the hitter? To the hitter, it looks like he was throwing 101.5. He's the only guy who threw it harder than Aroldis Chapman last year. Unfortunately, he's hurt, so we can't watch him, but it really does make a big difference.
Mike, do you have any, like when you look at Capps, do you have any problems with how he throws that pitch?
I certainly understand why people would think it was illegal. I think that he got busted for it in the minors, and he had Major League Baseball, you know, clarify it more than once, and they said it was okay. So I guess it was okay, but, you know, you see his dominance last year. I wrote a story on this a couple months ago before he got injured. His swinging strike rate and his batting average against was not just really, really good. It was elite to the level we'd never seen before. And I like Carter Capps, but I don't think he's the best reliever who ever lived. So I have to think that played a part of it.
Do you think that there's going to be a new wave of pitchers coming through that are going to try to imitate what he's doing?
I think, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Happy Gilmore swinging the golf club. It's in a way that if you could do it, people would do it. Like after that movie, everybody tried to swing a golf club like that. I think it's just a lot harder than it looks. I think it's really difficult to jump off the mound like that and keep control. And great for Caps that he could do it, but I'd be surprised if a lot of other guys could pick that up as well.
Yeah, it's like everyone in the NBA now is going to try and just shoot three-pointers growing up because of Steph Curry. You need to have that unique skill set and that tools, the tools in your toolbox to pull that off. Now, Caps is certainly an interesting case. You inspired me, Mike, to then apply. We were talking about Andrew Cashner here on the Padres staff last segment, and earlier I looked him up on StatCast because he and Syndergaard, who is top of your list or top of StatCast's list in terms of the average extension and the average perceived speed of pitching, and they're both 6'6". They're both, you know, powerful right-handers. And Syndergaard has an extension of about 6 feet 11 inches, and his perceived fastball is about a mile and a half faster than what he actually throws. Cashner's extension, only 5 feet 8 inches, according to what you guys have statistically, and his perceived fastball is almost 2 miles an hour slower than what the radar guns read. Do you think that maybe that's a little bit different? Not a Carter Capps thing, but maybe will guys start maybe a little bit longer of a stride length or a later release point? Because that's a big difference for two guys that are built very similarly.
Yeah, you're right. I think Cashner's definitely not getting all of his length. I think you're right, but I think it's difficult for guys in the majors to make that change because that's a big change. It's going to mess with your release point. It's going to mess with your control. I can see guys in the minors or even, you know, high school or college looking at that and saying, oh, maybe this could help me as I grow and as I learn. I just don't know if I can see someone at the major league level who's focused on getting out making such a big change because I don't know if anyone could do that overnight and not get lit up the next day.
Mike, have you looked historically at some other pitchers, you know, any Hall of Famers with their stride length and their velocity?
I wish we had StatCast data back to the beginning of time. As I've been telling people, as far as I'm concerned now, baseball history began in 2015 because that's the first year we have all these measurements.
You're not going to make Bill happy. He's an old-time historian here. That's not a good thing to say.
No. Hey, you know what? I'm a history major. I love baseball history. I would give anything to know how hard Babe Ruth hit the ball or how hard Sandy Koufax really threw it. Unfortunately, we've only got the data just from last year, so I think that's kind of a breaking point for us as far as what we can look at going forward.
But have you looked at a couple guys from the past and thought, wow, they'd look good in my charts? Are there any guys out there that you wish you knew more numbers on?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, Randy Johnson, I want to know everything about him. I'm never going to pronounce the name right, but Ted Kluszewski, who everybody remembers him with the ripped-off shoulders and
right.
The biceps out. I want to know how hard he hit the ball. Like, every Hall of Famer, right? Frank Robinson, Babe Ruth, I want to know what they did. Unfortunately, you know, that's going to have to stay in legends for them.
Yeah, well, but now moving forward for the rest of baseball history, now, Mike, we have you giving us the numbers. So thanks for that. It was a very fascinating read, and thanks for coming on the show, too. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, look forward to checking out the rest of Mike's stuff the rest of the year. And a reminder, thanks to Cholula for providing us there on the hotline. Uncap real flavor with Cholula hot sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap, and the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. When we come back, we're going to take a look at today's game, the lineup, and the pitching matchup as well. It's Padres and Phillies coming up, but more social hour when we come back.